Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Advocacy Channel, a customer marketing podcast. I'm your host, Will Fraser, and welcome to episode 20. Today, I'm excited to have Cece Lee and Lynn Patriga on the show. As the Chief Marketing Officer and the Chief Customer Officer at Enable Us, Cece and Lynn come loaded with insights on how to integrate their two teams, marketing and success, on crucial customer marketing initiatives. Tune in as the three of us discuss their proven approach to getting team alignment, how they identify and ask their customers for buy-in, and much, much more.
Cece, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Will. Really enjoy looking forward to our conversation today, and want to thank you for having us here.
Wonderful. And Lynn, thank you very much as well for joining us today.
Awesome. Yeah, great to be here and excited for our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so for some of our listeners, you know, they may have just heard about Enable Us in the intro 30 seconds ago. So maybe we can just start by giving the listeners a bit of a context and a little bit of the background as to what Enable Us is up to.
Well, let me take a first stab at it. I think one of the things when I was a customer of Enable Us that I found very interesting was the goal that the company is seeking to do is realizing that B2B purchasing is very complicated. And so how can we make it more like Amazon? You know, you can go in, browse, find what you're looking for and purchase. And so that's really what Enable Us is seeking to do with B2B is to make this entire process that much easier for sellers and buyers. And so we do that with a seller and buyer enablement platform to just make this process faster, to make it more transparent for everyone and to make it more personalized. So that's really what Enable Us does.
You know, I love that story. I love that story. Any story that starts with, you know, when I was a customer and then kind of came on board the platform. And Lynn, you know, we'll jump to you if you got anything else to add here, but I just want to just ask a quick question. Let's see, what was it that, you know, was there one specific thing that you saw or you experienced as a customer that said, hey, I really want to be part of this journey?
Yeah, I mean, there was actually a few things. As a customer, I don't know if you've ever done this, but Enable Us was the first vendor that I asked, can you slow down your product releases? No, seriously, I would, on some of our meetings, I would say, Lynn, I can't catch up with everything you're all doing. So what really impressed me about Enable Us beyond what they're seeking to do was just the product innovation. As a product marketer at heart, to see a company that's delivering features, both customer requested as well as platform improvement was something that was very unique to the company. And I said, okay, who are these folks? How are they doing it? And that was the initial point to my curiosity to learn more about the company. And as I got to know the company more and the people, that really sealed the deal for me to be able to come work for a company that I felt had the unique chemistry and sort of ingredients to deliver a product that filled a need in a way that was really beneficial to their end user is every product marketer's holy grail. And so I had to be a part of a company like this.
That's awesome. I also like that Lynn, who's here with us today, is part of your story about your discovering the product. So that's a fun full cycle story there. Yeah. Lynn, anything else that, you know, we can might be missing about Enable Us?
I think it's one thing I'll add. So I run the customer success side of things. So I get to see all the exciting ways that our customers utilize our platform. So while ideally our main use case is for sales to improve their processes, to make that buying experience more efficient, quicker for them to close deals, we also have customers that utilize it for customer success. So for better onboarding experiences, for ongoing training or onboarding of new sales users or customer success managers. It's really a dynamic tool that people can utilize these digital experiences and rooms for really anything that they need. And we've got customers that have some really exciting use cases that we love to see how people are taking advantage of, you know, how cool of a platform it is and where they can use it for any of their internal or external contacts on their side.
Cool. Cool. That's great. You know, before we kind of jump into the meat of our conversation here, maybe just to provide a little more context, you know, Cece, maybe you can kind of share with us, you know, what your role is at Enable Us and what that entails.
Yeah. So I'm the chief marketing officer for Enable Us. So I look at our brand messaging positioning. Also, how do I drive our interest with prospects and our customers to want to do more with us. So pretty much anything you can think of for marketing is something that's under my purview. And it's with working with Lynn, when we think about our customers and how to tell their stories, that's really something that's integral for us. So that customer advocacy, the customer marketing component is where Lynn and I work very closely on.
And, you know, that's a great kind of segue for us here because, you know, we've got, you know, the two leaders here together from these groups. And I'd love to understand, you know, how do your teams work together? Is there a strategy, a methodology, a framework that you use? Just anything you can kind of share about that. I think that's really the core of questions that a lot of our listeners are having today.
Do you want to start, Lynn?
Yeah, no, I can kick that off. So I think, so my role is really everything that is post-sales for Enable Us. So everything customer related from implementation to onboarding officially to our education support and that customer management and making sure that our customers are meeting their goals and, you know, wanting to continue to renew with Enable Us. So through, you know, obviously a lot of my work there, I'm hearing those success stories with our customers. I'm understanding what value they're getting out of it, how they're talking to their teams internally about our platform. And so Cece and I work really closely together. We've got, you know, some regular one-on-ones, some projects that that Cece manages that we'll work through. But it's really figuring out, how do I make sure that she's aware of those day-to-day conversations that I have with my customers, things that I'm putting together for, you know, QBRs or regular meetings with customers to say, here's the value you're getting. But how can I also loop CC into, this is a really great story, or as I mentioned, a really great use case that maybe we're not highlighting on our website that other prospects really might be interested in. And so how do I feedback a lot of that information to keep her just hyper aware of the exciting things that the customer side knows, just so she's not having to really come to me. Obviously, if there's something she's working on, she'll say, do you have a great customer fit for this? But I'm hoping, you know, I'm sending her a lot of great ideas in terms of where our customers are being successful. And they're telling us, hey, this got a great shout out at sales kickoff, or we're hearing amazing stories in the internal sales QBR, you know, how do I get those people connected with Cece to help them tell a better story through like a case study or a customer story?
And then for me, what my goal is to be able to help Lynn understand what I'm doing from a marketing perspective in terms of what stories do I think can help drive the message forward as well as differentiate us in the marketplace. I think the challenge is sometimes we can have a really interesting story, but is it worth the effort to publicize it? Because maybe that's not where we need to go and it's too much of an offshoot. So I think, you know, my goal when I work with Lynn or other type of customer organizations, just be very clear about what I'm looking for and not saying I need all of it. So I think that's one of the challenges when you have this type of collaboration is that marketing will fly in and say, I need A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and customer success. Like, whoa, hold on a second. And what I try to say is like, okay, let's sort of take a step back. This is the three things I would love to have: a testimonial, a video clip, if it's easy, or a case study. And then really clearly outline that if we do one of these, I can generate other things out of it. So it really depends on what I'm looking for and also the comfort of the customer. Cause I think that's the other challenge is marketing folks may come in and says, I want everything from every customer without thinking about the nuance of those relationships and how to leverage it at a particular time while still achieving your goals from a customer marketing perspective. So that's what I try to do in our conversations and making sure that we're both aligned on that so that when we do communicate it to the customer, they're not confused by what what Lynn may have said or what I may say when I engage with them.
That's all a very good point there. And I want to come back to that point on how you communicate to the customer. But first, I just wanted to kind of loop back. Lynn, you were kind of saying, keeping CC in the loop and making sure that she's hyper aware. That in some ways that kind of sounds good when we say it fast, but I'm sure our listeners are going like, and how? Do you have any tips or tricks there as to how you're able to do that well, prioritizing? I'm sure your demanding job of everything post sales, like any specifics there you can share?
Yes, I think there's two pieces. So one is that CC and I have regular calls. And so like she mentioned, she might be saying, I'm looking for a customer doing well in this industry, or maybe this use case. So I'm focused on what she's looking for. So I know I have a list in my mind of what things would be helpful. So when those do pop up, I know to email her, bring her in pretty quickly. We also have a couple of things internally that we do. One is we have our all-team Slack channel. So whenever I hear some of these great stories, so I hear that, this customer gave this feedback or they're really loving this post-launch, I actually put that in our channel just so all of our teams can hear that as a win. Mm. And so CC will sometimes respond like, let's talk to him. Let's get him on a call. Like, I want to do a case study. So, she can see that visibility pretty quickly. And then another thing we also do is a go-to-market meeting internally with our sales team, myself from a customer perspective, CC from a marketing side, and then we also have started including our product team. So it's a good way for us to all know what everyone's up to. So, if there's a really interesting customer coming down the pipeline that we are almost signing, that's also a place that I can hear from CC. This would be an awesome case study. Let's make sure that we kind of set that expectation. And so even from the initial onboarding or kickoff, I could be talking about it in terms of, let's figure out what your benchmarks are. Let's make sure we've solidified what those success goals are so that in, a couple months from now, we're going to have a really compelling story. So making sure that I'm working from all aspects there and then making sure I'm giving that information back to CC on that regular basis of they're not launched yet, but here's some initial pieces, or this company is, ready now, or they've, heard great feedback from their prospects using our tool. And that's not, maybe something we had already. Let's make sure we get that into something documented that we can help tell a better story on our website.
Makes sense. And then CC, you were mentioning you're kind of evaluating stories and determining what the stories are that you need. What is the criteria that you look at these stories with? And then how do you produce a list of what it is that you're hoping that Lynn and the team can find?
That's a great question. It starts with our messaging and our goals from a marketing department and how we're trying to drive the company forward. So usually it's think of it as a umbrella. There's always a message at top and then you have things underneath that support it. And so if I know, our goal is making B2B buying easier for sellers and buyers, then I'm going to have three benefits or things that I know we do well for our customers. And so it could be ease of use as a differentiator, or being able to drive efficiency in the sales deal. Like we were able to close the deal 30% faster. So really it starts with what are the goals we're trying to do and the key messages we're trying to communicate. So then it keeps us really focused. So like I said, if there's that outlying story that's really interesting but doesn't fit, then we have to make a decision to say, okay, while that's great and maybe they have some great numbers, because it doesn't fit here, it's not going to help us move forward for the majority of the type of customers we work with and helping to drive that forward. So that's the first place I begin. And so, I try to say, hey, I'm looking for customers in that can show, time savings, ROI, and collaboration, right? And so we are very focused on only looking for those stories or those type of quotes. So that's how I start to keep it focused.
That makes sense. I think that idea of focus in this is so important. We can only have so many things floating around in our mind as to topics we're looking for and things we're trying to achieve. So I think that makes a lot of sense there. I guess the question I would ask, and you mentioned this, but I think this is one of the most important places where both a kind of focused and nuanced approaches can help us. But how do you go about actually communicating these asks to your customers? And what have you found works and doesn't work to gain their buy-in to participating?
Why don't I start in terms of how I work with Lynn? Because Lynn's usually the person who would then take the ask to the customer. And I think how I position it to Lynn helps her frame how to then take it to the customer. And so again, usually what I try to say is, hey, you know, this is a great story. I would love to be able to do a case study. I only need 30 minutes of their time. You know, I've gotten to the point where I'm not doing multiple interviews. I'm not trying to go through multiple emails. I'm trying to simplify it as much as I can for the customer. And what I found works is just get them on the phone for 30 minutes. If they have more time, great, but 30 seems to be the sweet spot. And I just say, I'm going to ask you a few questions and you just tell me what you say. I'm going to come back and then go from there. That has seemed to work quite well. We also record that and say, hey, we're going to record it. We're not going to do anything fancy. It's like a Zoom. And so if they're comfortable with me using our audio or video, I have that. So now from one 30-minute call, I can do text, I can do video, I can do audio. And depending on what we get into, I can even create a mini case study. So that's usually the main ask. But in the conversations with Lynn, if we know there's something happening with the customer or they're fairly new, like the ROI 30 minutes, really when the customer's had the implementation for a while. But if they're a new customer, but they've already have some great experience, then I say, okay, well, let's just do a quote. So again, I work with Lynn based on where the customer is. Then we formulate a strategy of how to approach them. And then Lynn knows what I'm looking for. Then how Lynn packages it, I'll transfer that to her on how she then communicates or packages it to the customer.
Yeah, so just following what Cece mentioned, I think it's making it seem as easy as possible for the customer that, you know, I think when you ask someone to do a case study, you go back to, you know, having to write a paper in college, like this is going to take a ton of time. I'm going to have to do research. I'm going to have to do multiple drafts and it's going to be a lot of my time and I have a full-time job. So I think it's figuring out how to package it in a way that says, you know, you've told us these great things, like we want to highlight you. And what we want to do next step is introduce you to Cece, and we're going to have a quick conversation about, you know, what that looks like and some next steps. So it's figuring out how to make them feel like this is something that we're going to be doing most of the lift on. We're going to do some prep work. We're going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we're going to use that document or that conversation to create all of the content. So like Cece mentioned, we're going to do maybe a case study and some quotes and this other piece, and it's all going to be based on that one conversation. And maybe they can just approve them over time, but it's really not going to be, we're going to do this one thing and I'm going to expect you to go to your data teams and I'm going to expect you to do this. It's having those customers that have said like, hey, we got a really great shout out in the sales kickoff. People love it. We're hearing that your sales cycles are getting better. And for anyone in customer success to jump on that and say, you know what, that is such a great story. Like, we'd love to highlight that. So getting them to a point where they feel like they want to share that with us. And then using that momentum to say, can you give us 30 minutes of your time? Great. And then we can help promote them and their work just as much as what that does for ourselves internally. So it's kind of that win-win and also making them feel like the lift is going to be very minimal on their side, but that impact is still high without having to put too much work for what they need to do.
Do you ever kind of run into some objections in this process? I think you kind of mentioned people feeling like maybe it's too much time, and you were mentioning how you kind of keep that low. But are there any other objections that you might run into that you think others could benefit from understanding how to help people understand and get comfortable with?
So I think there's two objections that I'll see with some of these asks. One is around maybe they're just not ready yet. Maybe they've got those initial wins, but they're still maybe hesitant because it's still new and exciting. Or maybe, you know, they've got some of the sales reps that absolutely love it. They want to tell that story, but it's the full, you know, adoption is not there and they just want to wait a little while. So, you know, sometimes it's understanding, is it the right time? Like Cece mentioned, maybe it's early. So maybe they don't want to do a case study that's more formal, but maybe we want to have a nice quote or maybe even like a G2 review that we can reach out to. So I think it's understanding where they are and understanding their own value and asking for the right thing at the right time. And I think the other thing is, you know, people just don't necessarily feel like they have the story to tell. So a lot of, you know, customers might need help figuring out what is the value. There's obviously some ROI that we can tell and changes to the sales process, but there could be other things where, you know, they don't really know the value or they don't feel confident in communicating that. So I think it's working with them to understand what value they are getting, making sure that they know what that is on a regular basis throughout the customer journey. So when you go to them to ask, they know, oh yes, I am getting value. Here's what it is. And I can easily start communicating what that is for our organization versus, you know, hey, things are going well, but what does that mean? And maybe they'd have to start thinking a lot more in depth about like, what is good that I want to share? So having that communication over time so that they know that they're already doing well and here are the metrics and here's the touch points in terms of adoption or usage and engagement that they already have from our platform. So it makes it easy for them to say like, yes, we do actually have that story to tell and now I'm willing to tell it.
For sure. That those all sound like some really good tips and tricks there to help us get over that. And I can definitely see people feeling like they may not have a story or don't know that story yet. You know, Cece, maybe kind of over to you on this one. You know, the two departments that we have represented here, you know, it sounds easy to me like there could be a misalignment of kind of like a corporate objective. You know, how do you keep yourselves both aligned from, you know, your higher corporate objectives and how does that work for you?
You know, that's a great question because I've been in organizations where we haven't aligned and yet marketing and customer marketing is being asked, you have to get so many case studies or you have to get so many testimonials. Right. And you have to work with other groups because you may not have the direct you typically don't have the direct access. And so it's whether account manager, CS or whomever. And if your CS and account teams have different goals and objectives, then their time has to be on what they're being tasked to do, on what they're being evaluated against. And so now you have these two groups with different objectives. The goal may be the same, right? We want to make sure our customer sat's up. We want to make sure that we have stories to tell, being able to share those best practices with customers. They're very much aligned. But if you don't structure those corporate objectives at the same time with the and align on it, oftentimes you're going to go off in different directions. So what I have found is in my last two organizations is as you're setting up those type of KPIs or OKRs, whatever abbreviation you use to align your goals, your leaders have to be on the same page and they have to agree that the language is the same. It can't be, you know, marketing is going to get X number of case studies and then customer success is we're going to get X number of G2 reviews. They sound like the same goal, but in implementation, they are not. And so when you come together and say, hey, what's the give and take here? So instead of you getting 10 G2 reviews, let's get 5. And instead of 5 case studies, let's get 2 or 3. You start having that give and take to align on the goals. You're speaking the same language. And now both of your teams who are at the front lines are actually going in the same direction. And that's what I have found to be useful in my previous organization. And that's what Lynn and I do here is that we're very aligned on what we're trying to achieve, why we're achieving it, and in the time frame that we're achieving it. That's also very important too.
Wonderful. And you know, you mentioned kind of that you may have some experience where this wasn't the case. there wasn't necessarily alignment between the teams, yeah, or at least that may have happened somewhere else, which we won't name names at. If someone listening to the show might be in that situation where they're feeling like this alignment doesn't exist in their organization, maybe they're in a leadership role, maybe they're not kind of in that leadership role. Any suggestions for how they can kind of either help get that alignment or really just make the best of a difficult situation?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, if you're in a situation where you're maybe 2 to 3 levels below leadership and you know, your organization has created this goal that you have to do and you're now one of the groups or individual who has to implement against it, I think it's really important to start having a conversation with your peers and have the alignment there and sort of manage up while then, you know, being able to provide recommendations is key in this process. I think we all are very good at identifying the problem, but if we don't bring a solution to the table, then you're just going to continue propagating the situation that you're in. So being able to find, you know, collaborate with your peers, come up with a solution that you are agreeing to that satisfies your need as your individual groups, as well as the overall goals, I think is actually a great way to bring it to your leadership. And then that way your leadership is signing off on a solution that you've already come up with. And then the next time around, you know, being able to say, okay, you know, we learned from this. How can we now take our lesson, you know, what we've learned and right. Do it from the get-go. That would be my recommendation. And I know it's tough to do that. It's going to be a lot of cross-functional collaboration and conversations to get that done, depending on the size of your organization. But that would be my recommendation, is start with a couple of folks who are aligned with what you're seeking to do, and then come up with a solution that you can then recommend upward.
That makes sense. And I think that cross-collaboration seems to be kind of one of the key things here. You know, this really is, you know, a multi-departmental, multi-individual project. And to succeed at it, you know, you really do need to drive that collaboration. You know, I guess, Lynn, maybe for you, you know, one of the things that I've seen challenging in some companies, maybe, you know, you and CeCe are able to be aligned and you're on board, but sometimes you're, you know, the team members that are helping, you know, helping with things for yourself, Lynn, maybe they're a little busy or preoccupied or worried about that client. How do you help gain alignment inside of your own organizations and get other team members to really see this value?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is the pain that you feel when things aren't aligned is pretty apparent and is adding a lot more to the pain for your day-to-day. So if you think about how this might work if they're not aligned, it is customer marketing coming to customer success at the, you know, last hour saying, I need someone immediately. Who can we talk to? Or on the other side is maybe you have one really good customer and they keep tapping that same great customer for the conversation over and over again. I've definitely been in that situation where I found, you know, the one salesperson was then telling all of their other sales reps about this great customer. Right. And then they're now this customer that I didn't realize they were having, you know, 20 conversations in a month with some of our sales deals.
Wow.
And, you know, at some point they're like, can you ask him to calm down a little bit? So it's, I think, figuring out like what are those pain points of either the fire drills, because, you know, as you mentioned, everyone's pretty busy. So, you know, drop everything and start thinking about, you know, what customer matches this industry and this use case and the size that we can bring in. Like, that's a lot of extra work to throw in last minute. Whereas if you have a more proactive approach, it's definitely helpful. Or again, maybe you're causing issues with some of that customer goodwill that you're abusing a bit over and over again. So I think if you think about what are the things that can go very wrong and how can we fix them, that's a good way to get some of that buy-in. I think it's also easy to figure out what are you doing already and how do you use that as part of the alignment. So one of the things, a lot of customer success teams have internal QBRs where you're usually sharing some success stories or you're talking about what went well and what didn't. Using that as a way to maybe invite marketing or the customer marketing team to sit in on those and hear those stories and maybe even start crafting some of that, they're already having that meeting to talk about what's going well. It's also a way for, you know, depending on the size of the customer success organization, there might be different divisions or segments that are sharing internally in that one group what's going well, but maybe there's other, you know, geographies or segments that don't know, you know, this great story that's happening in our mid-market West team. You know, the enterprise East team could definitely benefit from it. So I think it's figuring out, how do you let them know when we start sharing these stories, both within our team, but also within customer marketing, you're going to hear these great stories, which then you can also, it's not just for prospects, it's also for customers. So, you know, it gives more validation to a customer to say, like, here's our latest story of who's doing this really well. A lot of times customers want to hear that too. And maybe they want to start asking questions, or maybe that's a, you know, upsell or cross-sell opportunity from a customer side, or it just, again, makes them feel better about what they've already purchased. I think there's a lot of value for existing customers and customer success managers in this alignment and making sure we're sharing those stories so it's not a burden on your time. And it's also, again, giving you some great best practices for your team to share without having to do, you know, way too much work and reinvent the wheel each time.
That makes a ton of sense there. I have a question, and by all means, don't feel obligated to answer this if I'm scratching anything too deep, but, you know, have you two always found that, you know, the collaboration at Enable Us between your teams has been so strong, or was there a bit of a learning lesson there that had happened to kind of come to this, what sounds like a very, very strong alignment between the teams?
I'll start. I think what helps is Lynn and I have a very similar mindset about the collaboration and the information sharing. I think that's really important when you start with your leadership. And I think that what we had in terms of, if you want to call it growing pains, is more of just language, you know, coming to a common language is always something you have to do when you're moving to new organizations or you have new people. So I think there was probably a little bit of ramp up for Lynn and I to make sure we were talking the same language about things. But once we've established that, I think we're just very fortunate to already have maybe had the less than ideal experiences at other places, that was not something we necessarily wanted to emulate here at Enable Us. Lynn, I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah, I think definitely part of that, I'll, you know, double click on that last piece of, I think we've learned like what doesn't go well. And especially when you're a smaller organization, like we need to be working as efficiently as possible. And I think, you know, collaboration and like, here's what you will handle, here's what I will handle, we will meet and discuss what we need to. That's been a huge way in which we've been able to, as Cece mentioned earlier, you know, we were able to release product updates to make changes within our organization really fast because we all had, you know, great trust in each other and collaboration, and people kind of knew where they were. I think it's also, you know, I had, for the G2, for example, so I actually had owned a lot of G2 in terms of our content and our reviews. And I had been here about a year when Cece joined. So a lot of it was, you know, her coming in and being like, this could be way better from a marketing perspective, which I'm not a marketing person. So I know where kind of my strengths are. So it was figuring out, you know, she wanted to step in, you know, update our profile, update some of our lead forms, and, you know, figuring out where there is some of that overlap, which is we both, you know, co-own some of our processes in HubSpot. We both co-own some of our things within G2, but figuring out, you know, what truly is sort of marketing owned, what is customer success, and where might we need to consult each other. I think, again, because we've had to move quickly and make changes, having that trust that, you know, she's doing the best for marketing, I care very deeply about our customers, and that alignment that she mentioned as well of, here are our company goals, and what are the things that I'm doing and she is doing to, you know, get to that point. It means there's not a lot of sort of tussling back and forth. We're both very clear on what that goal is that we need to achieve, and we're pretty aligned on, you know, what that department is doing versus this department, where I know in some bigger organizations, sometimes, you know, like Cece mentioned, the language, it could be, you know, the same sentence read by different departments in very different ways. I often see for customer success, it's kind of like assist other departments as necessary. And that can mean a lot of things. And it's like, if I have time, maybe, or here's what I think they need. But I think being clear on, like, my OKRs include a number for G2 reviews. And that's very specific of what I'm doing, what that number is. Where again, I think some other places, it's a little bit more, you know, qualitative out there in terms of helping or assisting, where it gets a little bit dicier in terms of what does that actually mean? Marketing might want this, customer success wants this, but if it's really clear about what each group is going to do, I think when Cece came in, she definitely had a very like strong project mindset of here's what we need to get done and where we go from here. I'm also a similar way, as she mentioned. So we're like, all right, here are our goals. Here's what we're going towards, and we'll keep talking.
And I think, you know, Lynn also hit upon one thing that's a unique, maybe it's unique for Enable Us in our culture. Again, we don't have the luxury of being in tons of meetings to just get one thing done. We're fairly straightforward. And if we have a question, we ask it and we get the answers and we just get things done. So I think that's another thing that helps in terms of whether I had joined, you know, a year later or sooner, whatever that was, that was something I noticed about the Enable Us culture that helped accelerate that collaboration and understanding. So I think for the most part, I mean, don't get me wrong, Lynn and I sometimes, you know, we'll have, you know, we'll definitely come at it with our different perspectives and we'll have a different set of opinion. But I think overall, we will always leave any conversation on a very clear understanding of what each of us are doing and with the overall goal that one, that is best for our customers, and two, that's going to help drive what we need to do as a company. And I think, again, because we're super clear about that and each one of us here aligns to that, that's what makes us work like a well-oiled machine.
I think that alignment, but also that candor or transparency you were just mentioning there, I think is a large piece for a lot of collaboration. You know, we've been having a wonderful conversation, I think, around kind of these teams working together and you know, how you're going about that. I just kind of toss it to you first, Cece. You know, is there anything else, you know, any other key lessons that you think are really important for a company that's trying to have, you know, these kind of collaboration initiatives work?
Yeah, I think what came to mind actually is this. We sometimes want to do all of this. And because we're trying to do so much, you actually get nothing done. My recommendation is keep it simple. KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Is do no more than three. It's like, just if you're just starting, what are the top three things you want to do? And give it a reasonable timeline. You can be aggressive, but don't be so aggressive that you know you're going to fail, right? And just only focus on that for that period of time and then build on it. And then next thing you know, in a year, you're going to have this full-fledged program. But I think people tend to want everything first and they get nothing done. So start small. Have your successes that can help then be proof points to the success of your program if you have any doubters in your organization, and then you go from there.
Wonderful. Lynn, any kind of big advice you would offer to the listeners here?
Yeah, I think the big thing is just to make sure that you have open communication with the other departments. So I think, you know, even before creating a new program, is figuring out what you're doing today that could be something you could pass along. So again, I mentioned customer success is often telling cool customer stories and wins within their team or with an internal QBR or maybe a revenue kickoff. So those things are already being shared. So where are there ways that you can utilize those within the existing processes, and how do you exponentially improve some of the things you're already doing? Again, versus it being one more ask from a department from, you know, one to another, this could be going both ways. Customer success could be looking for more customer stories and use cases, right? So figuring out what both of the teams are doing and where is there some of that opportunity for alignment and ways that you can get rid of, you know, maybe multiple work. What can there be, you know, projects that you're working on with both sides, I think just making sure there is that open line of communication and talking through that versus hearing, you know, from, you know, the customer marketing person always reaching out to their favorite CSM because they know they can get them that answer. How do you make sure that we're actually, you know, communicating at the individual, the leadership level, all the way up to the top, and figuring out what are the things that are most important? What are they already doing? How do we make that better? And then figure out, are there things that we need to build in to make it more official, to even make that, you know, more streamlined?
And I'm
wonderful.
And just, I'm going to add one tip, and I should have mentioned it before, but when Lynn was talking about, you know, they have QBRs and you typically can have a customer come in to tell a story. I think one thing is when you are already making the ask for a customer to tell a story to an internal team, that is a ripe, then ask them to say, hey, you know, you're already talking to our internal team. Do you mind if we record this and maybe make some of this public? It's not that much of an additional ask. The first ask is just getting their time to be on the call. And then doing that next level, I think, is something that is underutilized in my career, because again, you already have these QBRs, you already have these meetings. And if you are inviting your customers to it, that next ask is not going to be that much unless it's 100% confidential, but let the customer guide you on that. It doesn't hurt to ask.
You know, I think that's a really nice way to wrap up a conversation, really, that's all about alignment between customer success and marketing, right? You know, that simple idea that you're already having a call. Is it going to be valuable to the other team? What are those little things we can do that can give us some big results? So thank you very, very much for your time here today. This has been a wonderful conversation. If people wanted to find out more about you, connect, learn a little bit more, where would be the best place for them to do that?
I'm very active on LinkedIn and Instagram, actually, but Twitter is also okay. So just find me on LinkedIn and connect with me there. In terms of Enable Us, we have Enable Us Info on Twitter and Enable Us on LinkedIn. You can follow us there and come to our website, enableus.com. So there's multiple ways to get a hold of me personally and our company. Lynn?
Yeah, just add for myself, probably LinkedIn is going to be the best option for you. So feel free to find me there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both very, very much for your time today. I know I enjoyed this conversation. I'm sure our listeners did as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of The Advocacy Channel. Join us next time as we bring on more great experts like CeCe and Lynn. If you like what you heard and would like to help support the Advocacy Channel, please review, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about customer marketing, head over to the Sasquatch blog or follow us on LinkedIn. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to create powerful customer marketing programs that will help you better activate, engage, and retain your customers throughout their entire journey, head over to Sasquatch.com through the link in the episode's description and learn more about our referral, loyalty, and rewards platform. Well, that wraps another great episode of The Advocacy Channel. We'll see you real soon.